Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University poll, professor of political science, and one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my entire life. Talk to me about Elizabeth Warren. I'm always fascinated, Tim, about how some people, not everybody, I mean, in New York City, the mayor wanted to become the progressive for the country. But forget it. Forget it, Jack. You're out of luck. That's de Blasio, of course. But in Massachusetts and in the country, Elizabeth Warren is the darling of the progressive left. How come?
Well, I think a couple of factors are at work here. She's fearless, number one. She's not cowed by power. She's not cowed by any kind of institutional authority. And then, two, that empowers her to articulate ideas and arguments that a lot of people are fond of but wonder whether there's a lot of popular support. And you can see she is shaping the rhetoric in the presidential race these days. She is very influential behind the scenes, and that's significant for someone very low on the seniority ladder in the minority party in the Senate, that she's able to have an impact. But she is.
How's the word get out that she's important? In other words, you're saying, you know, she's hidden a light behind the bushel basket. She's a minority senator in the United States Senate, and yet people seem to know and gravitate towards her as a leader in a way they don't with Bill de Blasio, who said, me, I want to be that person.
Yeah, this is something that has built up over time. If you trace Warren's career, beginning with her serving as an advisor to President Obama on the Wall Street bailout, and then helping to develop the banking protections that the Senate adopted, and then the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. She built a following first among activists and policy wonks, but then eventually further out to the grassroots, so that when she ran for the Senate in 2012, she was able to raise significant sums of money. I mean, a chief top fundraiser around the country. And she has continued to do that, not just for her PAC, but going around helping other candidates around the country. And so she's built this profile, and she's also been very smart about some of her choices. Number one, deciding not to run for president. That would have really diminished her clout in many ways, and she seems much more influential on the outside right now.
Okay, so Tim Versalotti, you're one of the smartest pollsters I know, if not the smartest. Let me ask you this. How come Jeb Bush is sinking like a rock?
Sheesh. Well, first, thanks for the compliments.
You deserve it.
Part of it is that Bush was out of the game for a long time. Politics has changed, campaigning has changed, and he doesn't seem to have updated his approach, doesn't seem to have updated his style. His main exposure to national audiences is in these candidate debates, and he just isn't doing well on a crowded stage, and he's the first to admit it. So if that is influencing poll numbers, he's running into some problems there. There are some broader issues as well. There are other candidates who, Donald Trump and Ben Carson in particular, who are grabbing the spotlight as outsiders. You can't run as a Bush and claim to be an outsider. There's just no way. And so the moment is passing him by at this point. Now, whether that continues as votes are cast, that's still an open question. But I think those factors help to explain his low standing in the polls.
Okay, so Mr. Political Scientist, putting your other hat on, you'll get to a convention. The Republicans will think that if they've got a Trump or a Carson, that the middle of the party will be disenfranchised, that they will lose big to Hillary. And yet, is there anything that group, which probably is the majority but not at the polls, can do about it?
If it comes to the convention, that would be a real wild card situation. It would be very hard to predict the outcome of that. I think the likelier prospect is a long, grinding primary season where you see the field start to thin. And it's there that a more establishment candidate like Bush, or increasingly people are putting that label on Marco Rubio, will be able to make some headway. once the field thins and you get just a few alternatives to Donald Trump and Ben Carson, you can see a very different dynamic in the campaign.
Well, do you see a possibility? Everybody always talks about it, but it hasn't happened for years, of a brokered convention.
It's hard to say at this point. One indicator that it would be difficult to see happen on the Republican side is the rules that the party has adopted for awarding delegates in primaries and caucuses. It is still, broadly speaking, winner-take-all. And so you would not need to receive a majority of the vote in order to win the majority of the delegates. So it's hard to see a brokered convention.
But, of course, if everybody stays in, Tim, that helps with brokering, doesn't it? In other words, if people drop out, I mean, just think of the import of George. I'm being funny here, or trying to be. Just think of the import of George Pataki threw his 0.5% to one candidate or the other.
So what it would require is that candidates win states across the board so that you'd see a number of candidates emerging with victories in 5, 8, 10 states, and then no one gets to the majority they need to win the nomination. It's hard to see that happening because there's a certain amount of momentum that occurs
bandwagon
in the campaign.
Yeah.
And that influences, it influences fundraising, it influences media coverage. And so unless you have a deep well of support in terms of a super PAC behind you or a large personal fortune, as in the case of Donald Trump, it's hard to hang in. So we also have to be very, very careful about where we are in the cycle. It's still 1, 2, 3 months, a little under 3 months before the Iowa caucus on February 1st. A lot of the preferences we're seeing recorded in polls are not strongly held. Sizable numbers of primary voters and caucus goers are saying they could still change their minds. So and talk of a brokered convention right now is awfully premature. That's something to talk about in April or May.
Okay, sure. We'll be here. But so we have one more minute. I wanted to ask you this. A guy like Carson, I'm fascinated by what you just said, is leading in among Republican voters right now. But they may have a different reason for choosing him now than they may when it's actually going to count for everything.
Yeah, you see, nationally, he is either in the lead or just a few points behind Trump, depending on the poll. But in terms of the early voting states, Iowa is the one place where he has a sizable lead. And Iowa likes to go with evangelical candidates. They went with Rick Santorum in 2012. They went with Mike Huckabee in 2008. Carson is still lagging behind in the other early voting states, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. And so that kind of momentum can take over, and his star could fade. What's interesting is watching how the candidates build their ground games. If he's building a ground game and you have a low turnout primary, then there could be some surprises. But, again, it's pretty early to make those predictions.
I love talking to Professor Tim Vercellotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. Tim, when we come back the next time, I guess I want to talk to you about some other stuff.
I look forward to it.